88.9 is KWXC Grove, Oklahoma. Christian Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Proverbs 31:30, Woman to Woman. This is Sharon Hoskins, and I thank you for joining us today. I'm here with Janie Ratzliff. Hi, Janie.
Hi. It is so neat to be sitting across from somebody that you really love. I love to see your bright, shiny face today.
Well, it is good to be here. Now, Janie, I just want to be sure and let everyone know that if they are unable to listen to the complete broadcast today, that they can go to Proverbs 3130ministry.com and they can get all of our podcasts on there.
And that's wonderful. And we should just make the notation that there are other similar ministries with that same insignia. So there's no dot between 31 and 30.
That's right.
It's just straight through.
3130.
There you go.
Ministry.com.
Right.
And so they can listen to the guest connections from last year that we did. And they can also listen to all of our podcasts from this year.
And there's a little black line down there where you have to hit. I've had several people say, I can't tell just exactly where to go to hear. But down below your little blurb that you give about this week, there's a little black line and there's a little spot that you
button.
That's where you go. That's right.
All right. So we just want to clarify that for those that are listening, that you can get teaching handouts there at Proverbs3130ministry.com. And if you just click on the teaching handouts, there's the relationship test that we talked about last week and the week before. It's quite a large little test or evaluation test,
right,
for us to know how our relationship, evaluate our relationship with God and the areas that we need to grow.
And it's an opener. It's by no means a complete evaluation, but it's a place where if the heart has a point of doubt or a point of discouragement, any negativism, it's a jumping off place to where you can start to get some resources and know where to go in the Word of God.
Right.
I've forgotten how many 100,000 verses we have in the Word of God, but there's a bunch.
There's
and knowing
bunch.
Where to start sometimes is what it's where
hard.
We need the help.
Right. Okay, well, we are continuing our dive into the heart of God and His character. And so what are we going to be talking about today, Janie?
Well, I have really kind of put the burden back on you this week, and I'll tell you why. You very well know that you've written some studies, and I think at the end of the show it would be good for you to post how people can get a hold of these studies. You can even get a hold of them on Amazon. But you have written so much about fellowshipping with God, about the evaluations, about the, I think one of your portions was attitude in action or something like that. I've forgotten just exactly. But today you have summarized really all that God is in three humongous categories that will take a lifetime to break down. But it is, I think, essential for a believer, a non-believer, to understand what I call the big O's.
Those are $5 words.
And Sharon's going to break them down for you into 50-cent meanings and apply them. We're going to spend a little bit of time today just applying the big O's. So, Sharon, why don't you lead us into what the big O's really are?
Well, the big O's are the natural attributes of God.
Okay.
And these are who God is. Excuse me. These are who God is, what it makes Him up, so to speak. And these are important for us to know because it's hard to believe and trust and know in a God that you don't understand. So having these characteristics and knowing that God is omniscient.
Okay, that's a biggie now.
That's a big $5 word, which means all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows the very intent of our heart. Sometimes we don't even know that.
That's right.
We don't even know why we're doing what we're doing, but God does.
Because we say, show us our secret faults.
Right. And even David said, you know, show me those secret places that I can't see. And so the Lord knows everything. He knows what we have need of before we ask. He knows our heart's desire. He knows our future. He knows our past. He knows everything about us, and He loves us anyway.
And for those that are struggling physically, it's a comfort to know that He knows my DNA.
Yeah.
And He knows where that has weaknesses in it, whether they're genetic or whatever, and that He is sufficient for all of those things.
Right.
When He made Adam and Eve, we probably had some perfect DNA. But we had somebody who came into the garden and disrupted that. And so now we need to take security and comfort in the fact that He knows where that went astray.
Yeah.
And He is omniscient and sufficient.
Yeah.
In that lack.
Knowing our weaknesses and where we need to grow. Some of the tests and trials that we go through, we don't really realize that they're tests and trials to build character. And those things are placed there by God to help us grow in those areas that we're weak, so that we can become stronger in those things. And that's another reason why it's so important. You know, this book that I wrote, this is called The Fear of the Lord. And this came from a place where I was in my Christian walk, and that was not understanding how to have a relationship with the Lord. And so the FEAR is an acronym, and the F is faithful fellowship, E is expressions of exaltation, A is application with an attitude,
yeah,
and R is recognition to respect. We won't respect people if we don't know them.
That's right.
We won't respect God if we don't recognize Him when He shows up. And so in the trials that I went through as a young believer, I attributed those things to Satan, that he was suppressing me or trying to hurt me in some way. And so I was constantly, you know, rebuking Satan and pushing away those tests of my faith. And so, because I didn't know that God knew my weaknesses, and He knew that I needed to be strengthened in that area of my life.
So really, a gift that God was trying to give you to grow you,
right,
to have the intimacy with Him, to have the security and the joy of eternal relationship with Him,
mm-hmm,
you saw as an evil.
As evil, affliction.
And right, guess where those thoughts came from?
Right.
It wasn't out,
right,
of the throne room of heaven, now,
right,
was it?
And so, yeah, as babes in Christ, you know, small children, we don't know, just like our children don't know the difference between good and evil. You know, they don't know. Stranger can come up and take them, and, you know, they open their arms to go.
They're vulnerable.
They're vulnerable. And we're that way as young believers. And that's what happened to me. And so that was one of the pushes for writing this book, was that I wanted to help others know who God is, how to have a relationship with Him, and that we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fail. And these are just some places that you can go to find some strength.
And we should give some encouragement here that the Lord knows that we all will stumble, because He said seven times does a righteous man stumble, but he gets picked back up. What we want to caution as we visit today on mentoring one another, and that is that we don't let those mistakes become a lifestyle.
Right.
Because the Lord says he is there. But then when we have a lifestyle and we choose to stay in that, then we have hardness of heart. We develop a rebellious spirit. And that then gets played out in a failed marriage or children being alienated from parents or problems in the workplace or even more tragic, problems in the church.
Right.
So we need to look at and examine ourselves, realizing that we don't want to let the mistake become a lifestyle.
And that's what some of the other, the F, E, and A, you know, helps to distinguish, you know, is this, are you given an attitude of rebellion here, or are you truly looking at your heart and saying, yes, you know, I'm going to apply this to my life. This is something I need. I'm going to apply this to my life with a good attitude. You know, my kids will go clean their room, and sometimes they go stomping down the hall and, you know, throwing things around to clean their room because they don't want to do it. You know, there's a different attitude. You can obey with two different attitudes, and one's not so lovely.
When we had our adopted children, we brought in a lot of junk into our home because of what they carried and brought with them from their broken homes. And we had one little one who was really superb at stomping. So we would allow her the freedom to stomp back to her bedroom, but she could not come out until the attitude had been dealt with. And sometimes we didn't see her till morning. And then there was kind of some sheepishness. Mm-hmm. But we do have to hold one another accountable. And the Lord told us in the scripture, examine yourself. And he's addressing this to Christians to see if you are really in the faith.
Right.
So there is that accountability.
Absolutely. Well, I guess the next
big O,
is omnipresent. And that just means that God is everywhere. He's all-knowing, and now he's everywhere. And so, there, you know, David said, there's no place I can go to hide from you, Lord.
Yes.
That, you know, in the depths of the sea, you are there. You know, in the secret place, he's there. In the public place, he's there. He is everywhere. There is no place to hide from the Lord. He is in the intimate, most deepest, most darkest place of your heart. You can find God there.
And that's why you can never, ever really be truly alone.
Right.
You might choose to be lonely in your circumstances, but we have to. And, you know, Sharon, that's difficult because that's something that we have to accept by faith. I mean, it makes no human logic a reason to believe that God can be every place at every moment throughout every universe. And we understand that he's certainly created more than one universe. So how can a spirit be everywhere? Mm-hmm. And yet the Lord said in the flesh, Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go back to heaven because I'm going to let you do greater works. Because you can go to the people. You know, right when he was here on earth, he was limited to his sphere as far mm-hmm. as just fellowship and teaching and training. But now we can be that representative to show forth that he's here. He's in Asia. He's in China. Mm-hmm. He's in South America. He's everywhere in every heart that will let him in.
Right. And our minds cannot fathom that God is everywhere. But, you know, as you said, as we represent him, and so what does our representation of Christ look like? We really have to examine our hearts to be sure that we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that matches his word.
Yes.
And, you know, we talk about being, you know, holy and righteous, and that is, that's how God sees us because of Christ. But the way we treat other people, the way we respond to them, our attitude, our interactions with them, you're the only Christ that someone may see ever in their life. You're the only Christ that someone may hear ever in their life. And so we as Christians need to be representing Christ in a Christ-like manner.
And, you know, very few people reject love.
Exactly.
And just very briefly, I had an opportunity this week to meet someone who was in, I would say, a collapsing crisis. And my heart just reached out. The Bible says, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And the love of God, which is more than what I can contain, so it's got to overflow. I was able to minister to this person. And after ministering, I said, I am making a commitment to pray for you hourly, on my waking hourly, while I'm awake, because this needs a change. Your heart needs a change. Your attitude needs a change. And I understand why your heart is where it is today. Mm-hmm. Well, I had the privilege of then leaving, going away, but had the privilege of seeing this people about 48 hours later. And Sharon, this person looked at me with a grin that was from all over the face, and just said, Janie, prayer works.
Oh, my goodness.
And then was able to tell me the sequence of what had happened in the last 48 hours. And it was something that had never happened to this individual before.
Wow.
And so it was a witness and a testimony to the love of Christ being shown visibly, to where this person didn't have to read about it and wonder how it looked like.
Yeah.
They were able to see it.
To see it firsthand.
And you know what, Sharon? I got as much of a blessing out of that as what they did in seeing the miracle in their life. So love goes back and forth both ways.
Yes. And, you know, you attract more bees with honey or flies with honey than you do with vinegar, right?
Well, yes. And let me just give you some validation from the scripture on that. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
Yes.
Now, what's in the bones? Well, it's the marrow. It makes the blood. The blood gives the life. And so pleasant words are encouragement.
Yeah.
And the different facets of encouragement of how we can talk about later. But continue on. We haven't covered all our O's yet.
Oh, well, our last O is omnipresence. Omnipotence. I already did omnipresence.
That's right. And you took that down to, what's our 50 cent word?
Our 50 cent word is all power.
Okay.
So we look at God and we, in our situations, we think, well, how is this going to work? Mm-hmm. How is that going to work? We were just talking this morning about an assignment that I had to do, and I just could not wrap my head around it. I had a whole week and ended up being able to accomplish that along with several other tasks that I had to do in a short 2-day period.
And may I say, you did have some prayer support for that, okay? So we don't ever want to undervalue
the power of prayer. Yes.
Right.
But God is all power. And we sometimes look at our situation and we think, there is no way that this is going to work. There is no way that this is ever going to change. There is no way. And the truth is, there is a way. It's called God.
Yes.
Because He is all power. And when we can put our faith and trust and hope in Him, miracles can happen.
And do
happen.
Yes, yes. Well, and you know, again, going back to my favorite calling, which is a life of prayer, I need to say that a lot of times we say, well, we are going to start this ministry and we need to ask the Lord to bless it. Mm-hmm. Well, it should be the other way around.
Right.
We are going to go into prayer and let the Lord, that's the real work.
Right.
That is your real work. And then ministry flows out of your intimate relationship in prayer.
Absolutely.
But when you're talking about being omnipotent or all-powerful, there is a particular phrase in one of the verses on prayer that the Lord gives us, and it's in Matthew 7:7. And He says, He has three things that He guarantees answers on. One of them is ask, and that's the easiest level. Mm-hmm. We won't go into all of that. You ask if you need love, courage, you need a friend. The Lord says, hey, I will see that that is taken care of. It's done. Then you have the seeking, and the seeking is got an element of time in it. But the one I want to address right now that you're talking about on All Powerful, although all of these have to have God's power, is the knocking. Because a knock is not a little tap, tap. It's a knocking. Can you hear that? It's a persistent, repetitious knocking, knocking, knocking. We are seeking. We are knocking. And that's when we need to be looking for a door of entrance. Maybe there's a wall of resistance. There's something that there is nothing in our power, or maybe even in the world's power,
right,
that can take care of it. But God says, you keep knocking, and I will open up the door of opportunity. Now, it doesn't always mean that the request that you're knocking on is going to just yield and be putty in your hands. Right now, I'm knocking for our government. And I don't know how that's going to play, but there are some walls of resistance that I am knocking daily on because I'm calling to the omnipotent God.
Amen.
And I know he's in control, even though there is conflict raging. And we as believers, because non-believers cannot really pray this way.
That's right.
But we as believers share then to see that the administration that has been put into authority is honored with what they are trying to accomplish. We may not ever agree with every jot and tittle, but Romans 13 tells us we are to honor. And one of the ways we can is when we see conflict and chaos and confusion, which we know are not coming from an omnipotent God,
right,
then we need to go to that omnipotent God and say, we can't straighten this mess out, but you sure can.
Absolutely. You know, God has, he has pre-appointed things to happen. And,
yes.
And he has plans that we have no idea why. It makes no sense to us why things are the way they are, why the chaos, why this administration, some people may be saying, you know, why God, why did he get in? You know, why is this happening? But God has a plan.
Oh, yes.
And when we can trust in him for his all power and knowing that he has the authority to do whatever he wants to do, then we can trust in him.
And we need to look at, we're looking at right now. He's looking at his timeless eternity.
Right.
So whatever is happening today is working into his overall plan for all of eternity, which we cannot comprehend. We just know that we can rest in his sufficiency, his all-knowing, his all-power, his being everywhere at all, right, place to lead and guide.
Right. And the freedom that he promises is not our physical freedom.
No.
He doesn't promise our physical freedom. If that were the case, then, you know, many who have been enslaved, God didn't, fulfill the promise for them. And that's not true.
I read this morning in one of my devotional things that over 900,000 Christians had been martyred in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Okay.
That is unbelievable.
And you would think, well, where is the protection? Well, the protection is that as we know him, we will never have to know the second death. We'll never have to know the lake of fire.
Right.
We'll never have to know eternal separation from him. And I would make an appeal to anybody who has even a curiosity today that may not know him personally, that they would stop and say, I can't control my future. Maybe I can control the next week, day, hour, month, or even maybe a year. But I can't control my eternity.
That's right.
But I can make a choice on where I want to spend eternity.
Right.
And thank goodness that we have been given the gospel of grace, and we just simply need to know it and then accept it. And hopefully, Sharon, as we continue to mentor one another here, that we can make that so vividly true as we share.
Absolutely. And Romans 10 is where you can find the salvation message of
If we confess.
If we confess with our hearts.
Stop there and repeat that, Sharon.
If we
with our hearts.
With our hearts.
Not with just our head. The Lord
not
is not
just our words.
Yes.
Sometimes we just say words.
Yes. Yes.
Without any meaning.
And sometimes we're told you just need to pray the prayer of forgiveness. The Lord hears that.
Right.
But that forgiveness prayer better be backed up with something from the heart that makes a change in the life.
Right.
If you've prayed that prayer and nothing's changed in your life and nothing's changed in your thinking, you better go back and rethink your prayer.
Right. And that's very important if you're at that point today where you're saying, you know, there's something just not right.
Yes.
You know, head back to Romans 10. Head back to get on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you and confess with your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior today.
And there are places in the scriptures, and we can talk about this on another session, where there are evidences to know if your heart has really made that change. But I would encourage anybody today to go back and read the book of 1 John. Right, there's only a few chapters there, and there are strong evidence to show if you really are a true believer. Go back and read John 17, the whole chapter where the Lord prayed back to his Father for what he wanted for us.
Right.
It tells about us being unified. It tells about us being able to stand together. It tells about what he has done to keep us from the evil one.
Right.
So we'll have a lot more to offer to give a person that security.
Okay, well, I guess that's all the time we have for today again. It goes fast.
Yes. So let's just say that next week we are going to give a lot of time to encouragement.
Okay.
How do we encourage people so they can see Jesus Christ when they may not necessarily know how to understand the words that they're reading in the scripture, but they have a hungry heart?
Okay. Well, if you would like to listen to this podcast again, maybe you didn't get all the information you wanted, you can go to Proverbs3130ministry.com and you can find all the podcasts there. And you can also find a link to my Bible studies. The Fear of the Lord is on there. You can find a link to the teaching handouts. I hope that you will join us next week when we will be back here Friday at noon. Until then, have a blessed week.